Hi everyone, my name is Victor.
Hi, and I'm Jennifer.
And I'm Katya, and together we are the Grin Marketing Team. Between the three of us, we have expertise across all of digital marketing, which includes, but isn't limited to, SEO, social media, influencer marketing, paid media, content and email marketing, just to name a few areas. And with the digital landscape changing every day, our goal is always to stay on top of the trends. And we love talking marketing. Just ask us, we'll tell you.
So welcome back to another episode of Fact Check, where we're going to be talking about influencer marketing as it relates to the B2B space. So I thought this was a very interesting topic. I think when we look at B2B organizations, a lot of people don't think influencer marketing, but I definitely think that there is a sector for it, or maybe a conversation to be had around it. I think that a lot of organizations that are B2B can really utilize thought leaders. Katya, I know you have opinions.
We did a case study with Darn Good Yarn, and this was one of the questions that I had asked is, okay, you know, you're in this space where you're D2C, you've got customers, you have an item, right? You have something that you're selling. Do you think that influencer marketing is exclusive to this? And her response was super on point and definitely falls into where my opinion lies is no, you just have to be more creative. You can think of an instance to use an influencer in any business, and B2B is definitely no exception. One of those influencers, quote unquote influencers that I was talking about, or the specific type are the KOLs, right? The key opinion leaders. Those are really great for B2B, but there are also instances where you can use influencers across the board. When it comes to B2B, you just have to be more creative. This is where the experiential marketing comes into play and your use of influencers in creating an experience for your brand.
I used to work for a manufacturing company. We didn't call them influencers. We didn't even call them key opinion leaders because I guess just we weren't as knowledged as I am now. But we did use influencers in the way of we used high profile universities or we used coalitions. We would reach out to these different coalitions and it's like, all right, we'll sponsor your event, but we want you to post this on your website, make us your sponsor, give us a backlink, put our logo here.
You're facilitating your brand story through a person, right? Or through a group. But there are definite differences when you use an influencer for B2B over like D2C or B2C, right? The approach, what it is that you're using them for, and to kind of get out of the mindset of what you view as influencer marketing. I think it's easy for a B2B brand to say like, okay, well, I'm not on Instagram anyways, so why would I even need influencer marketing? But it's really cultivating a partnership with someone that's going to tell your brand story. And that's probably the best way to use influencer marketing from the B2B standpoint is it's an extension of your story outside of what you would do. And then there are a lot of ways I think that you can really dig in and find those influencers for you, right? We, from a D2C standpoint, we're always talking about, you know, look at the people who already love your brand, who are already buying your things. For B2B, look at your employees. They got to love your brand. They got to speak your brand stories. That's where you start. And then you kind of build out from there when it comes to B2B.
I think it's very interesting too. So at my last organization, we worked in the cybersecurity space. But what was interesting was that I still wanted to implement some form of an influencer program, regardless of if it was extremely structured. So what I did, our CEO was very influential within that space, mm-hmm. even before, you know, he built our company and he already had a large following on LinkedIn. He was doing this before I got there, but we just kind of tailored up what he was doing a little bit, where basically he would start putting out information and he would just churn out more and more thought leadership pieces and content and link it back to certain blogs and certain, you know, case studies and white papers. And I would do video series with him on the fly on like an iPhone where we would just have him like talk about something. And when we'd go to conferences, I would just film him talking about something relevant to, you know, what was going on at the conference and whatnot, and just put it on our social. And that for us caused so much more traffic to go to our social media because he was helping influence his community to come to our page, to read our blogs, to download our stuff, et cetera, so on and so forth. And ultimately, there were a couple of people in the organization that I worked with in order to make our influencer program. So even though I wasn't reaching out to, you know, influencers via Instagram or anything like that, I was using thought leaders within our organization to help amplify our message.
Which platform do you guys think would be the most effective for a B2B?
LinkedIn, of course, is like B2B heaven. And I also think, oddly enough, YouTube. And I think YouTube, a lot of B2B organizations need to be on YouTube and really understand what they can do with it. Because the thing is, if you're selling to a business, you can't sell to a business yet. Like, yes, on Twitter, for example, because you know I love Twitter. You can sell ideas on Twitter, right? You can sell like your opinions on Twitter because tons of people are going to follow your business and say like, well, this is from a business perspective, how you function, what you think as a business entity. But the thing that I personally think causes someone to make a sale is connecting with an individual. And that's where YouTube, I feel like, comes in, especially for B2B, because 9 times out of 10, you're not going to be talking to like a person. It's always going to be this business entity there. So you go to YouTube and you put faces, you put names, you start telling about your brand story, whatever it might be. You tell about how you helped one business do this and another business do that. And now you're creating a new layer for new customers. Because the thing is, like, people are going to be the ones saying, hey, we're going to make this purchase of your product. Like, those are people. So you have to still find a way to connect with people at the end of the day. And I think video works, you know, best for that. And like I said, LinkedIn, putting out pieces of thought, leadership information, you know, growing your network is, I think, a little bit easier on LinkedIn because you can search people by network. So it's super targeted.
It's interesting because I definitely see where you're coming from. LinkedIn is very obvious because it is B2B. I actually lean more towards the side of don't pigeonhole yourself to a platform. Because if you're looking for influence, it depends on the person and it depends on what platform it is. It could be a blog post, you know, on their website that gets promoted on Instagram and then also pushed out on Facebook. I think, you know, you bring up a really good point. Video is really important. I think that people definitely gravitate towards that, especially since for B2B, I would say the content or the messages that you're pushing out is really more about telling your brand story. So it's very storytelling or educating people on what your service is and the benefits. And I think video definitely lends to that. But I also think with social media platforms being what they are now, everybody seems to have a video option, whether it's live or recorded to be pushed out. I definitely think the lowest hanging fruit or the easiest way to start is probably on LinkedIn to be able to push your message out. But I would say, like, be open to all of the platforms because you really never know. And especially if you want to be able to tell your brand story, there is a business side, but you need to personify your brand. And that means, I mean, yeah. Victor, you're always talking about it. We got to show that we're human, right? Because we are human. It always goes back to authenticity as well, too. So I think that when you open it up to more than one platform, or maybe just being strategic in how you use those platforms and the influencer, I think that that's what the key is. And you have to think about like what that user-generated content is that you want to get to.
No, I was thinking kind of outside of social and just as an SEO manager, and you think about Grin yeah. is B2B. So when I'm out there and I'm trying to find entities, whether they're publications, people, whatever it is, to talk about Grin, it's the exact same idea. So I'm looking for influencers in our software space.
Yeah.
So we are a B2B, and that is part of, I mean, that is hugely what I do, is going out there and finding, you know, the Shane Barkers or the influencer marketing hubs and identifying, you know, the entities that we want to be talking about us because they are influencers in that space. And yeah. It's outside of just social media. You know, it's blog mentions, it's being listed. It's, you know, there's so many different ways that a B2B could leverage influencer marketing outside of even just social media.
Another one is Medium. I think Medium is an amazing platform where you could really take influencer marketing and like spin it.
Medium.
I love Medium too. And also Reddit. I think Reddit is really untapped. And I feel like there's so much potential to build your community because that's what Reddit is. It's literally community building, right? You are able to go in there, take thought leaders, build a community around those thought leaders and push them to a Medium, or you have your main blog. And then at my last organization, we had our main website with its blog. And then we had a product team blog that lived outside of the website. And it was a completely different behind the scenes look at how you build this product. How do you design this product? How do we hire people to build our product? What are innovation ideas look like? That also was something that we used to help push people back to why you should come to us, why you should use our product beyond just using the product itself. So I think there's a lot of creative and super awesome ways that people can really utilize influencer marketing. And I want people to use that term, I guess, more loosely within the B2B world for B2B organizations.
Yeah, and I think that really what you are speaking to, and especially in that example, it is the educational component, right? The B2B needs more education than a D2C brand, right? A D2C brand, for example, would need a review. A review is enough to give you information about a product where, you know, and we run into this too. It is a lot of educating. This is what we do. This is who we are. This is how you do it. These are the resources that can help you. And when you invite influencers to help you educate and then bring out that story, it makes it easier for you. It adds a level of authenticity. Where I will say that I think there is probably the biggest difference for B2B and, you know, B2C and D2C. Again, I'm getting stuck on these acronyms. Sorry. I think the difference is kind of the not just the type of influencer, meaning like, you know, nano versus macro, but also the type of partnership that you create. I think that to really educate and tell your brand's story, you actually need partnerships with influencers. So where D2C can really get away with kind of like the quick and dirty, you know, a post for a product or post for a payment, I don't think that model lends really well for B2B. I think that you need to develop that partnership so it's a consistent voice talking about your brand. While I only have a D2C kind of example in my head, where my mind goes is like, you know, the Sprint guy or the Toyota woman or Flo from Progressive, right? Like,
oh my gosh.
But do you know what I mean? Like she's a very consistent sort of figurehead. And, you know, that's obviously the extreme because now like she is Progressive, but you need the consistency so that people can see that, okay, they're not just getting paid to say it, like they believe it and they're telling me different ways that they believe it, different ways that they either use the service or what they like about it. It really becomes a relationship between, you know, the business and the person the influencer that's actually telling the brand story.
I think that also speaks to, so I'm really big on YouTube when it comes to just learning about like anything that might be considered boring. So like I said, I watch marketing videos all the time on YouTube. And one brand that I really, really love is Square. I think that they're amazing because Square sells to businesses and to people with businesses. And so in many ways, it can be considered, I guess, B2B, but then it's also D2C as well. And then it could also be, I guess, B2C too. So it's kind of all three of those things. But the reason why I bring them up is because I think that you can learn a lot regardless of how you consider yourself, like in terms of B2B, B2C, D2C, whichever one. I feel like they do a really great job at utilizing influencer marketing, creative concepts and strategies of how to tell their brand story in each area. So I would definitely encourage also, just sounds bad, but try copying other brands that you see doing things that are more creative and outside of the box.
I don't think it sounds bad. And I wouldn't say it's copying. I think it's being inspired, right? I think no one has had an original idea since the beginning of time, right? There was one idea and we've all been kind of think tanking our way through it and bouncing things off. I think that's so copying is not. Yeah, I wouldn't say copying.
Copying is not bad. Okay.
Be inspired. I would say be inspired by others. Well, because we're all doing kind of the same thing, but putting your brand spin on it, that's the twist. That's what gets people engaged, right? Because when it comes to also influencer marketing, there are only so many campaigns that you can run, right? Like we have like lists of different types of campaigns. So it's always like, okay, what kind of twist can I put on this? What kind of twist can I put on that? How can I make my brand stand out? And that's where the creativity comes from, right? Like, okay, you know, I want to be able to post out a YouTube video that's educating, but do I stand in front of a desk? You know, do I, you know, do a reenactment? Do I do an unboxing? Do I interview people? Like that, that's where the differentiator is. And that's how you can really use influencers, because influencers are the creators of that, you know, of the differences between those types of videos. I do think, you know, the key is, you know, influencer marketing can work for really any business. You just, again, have to be creative.
The biggest takeaway here is that because you are in B2B does not mean that you cannot utilize influencer marketing. I think that is a huge myth. You know, there's been a lot of ideas bounced around, and ultimately it comes down to just be creative and try new things. Don't be afraid to step outside of the norm. Don't be afraid to step out of the box and, you know, try some of those strategies that you may think, oh, this doesn't fit for my B2B, you know, model. Because it might actually be the best thing to happen to your business. So until next time, everyone, thank you for tuning in. Be sure to check out our website for more information and resources, www.grin.co, and make sure you subscribe to get the latest updates on our new podcast that will launch every Monday. Until then, bye.
Bye.
Bye.